It feels like the culture is shifting at Auburn, but what better way to find out than talking to a former player?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. So much to talk about today. Got a former Auburn star on here that's we're going to talk about culture. We're going to talk about the differences that they may see from the past till now. Former players getting involved. And then we're going to learn more about what he's doing today. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout out to Active Wealth, Ford Stokes. Look, if you're looking for planning for retirement, you got to do it before you actually retire. So reach out to him today, get a complimentary portfolio analysis, Social Security maximization report, and a financial plan all the way to your 95th birthday. Hey, if you want to make sure your money's not going to go to Alabama, give it to Ford Stokes. Big Auburn guy, and I know he's going to be fired up for this show today. So it's Active Wealth Management and Ford Stokes. And without further ado, I want to bring in my guy, Craig Sanders, who's been very, very visible lately, a lot more visible than in the past. And I think that's probably the whole conversation that we're going to have today. Craig, man, thanks for joining us today.
Kyle, what's up, brother? Thank you for having me on, man. Love the show.
Yeah, dude, thank you. I saw you. You're at practice this past weekend. There's been so many former athletes, former Auburn football players that have been seen more. You see Takiyo Spikes with his interview talking about it being the first time he's ever even stepped foot in the football facility. Was that your first? You've been to practices before because you're a coach, right?
Right, yeah. I've been up through the years going to practices and things
like
that.
Yeah, but you're seeing a lot more players seemingly be involved. And like you were even asked to actually speak to the team. And I want to get your perspective on this because it feels like that's different than what it's been, at least over the past, I don't know, at least 5 years, maybe even longer.
The difference of walking up to Saturday's practice, and we've been up there before for spring practices and things like that, was the welcoming of just the people when you walk in. The director of football ops is in there. You got coaches walking up to you on the sideline that I don't even know. Like, I know Cody, I know Jerice, I know all those guys, but new guys that they've hired on staff are walking up, dapping you up. Hey, man, glad you're here today. And I know that sounds really small, but little things like that go a long way of just saying, hey.
Yeah. Because
that has not happened in the past.
You're one of the few guys that played for two national championships, won one, obviously came up a little bit short in the second one. Clearly you have been a part of when Auburn's been great. So it feels like from the outside looking in that this staff seems to get that, and they're being a lot more intentional with talking to guys that have played at Auburn, have won at Auburn, and they want to get Auburn back.
Yeah, hey, I totally agree. And even being up at practice, man, I got some 2013 vibes being back up there, because when Rodney Gardner got hired on as my D-line coach and he started coaching us, I mean, it wasn't – you couldn't get out there and not have a perfect rep. You had to do it right. And if you didn't do it right, your butt had to go back and do it again. And you wasn't just getting yelled at. You were getting coached, like critiqued, your fine skills, different things like that. And that's what I saw Saturday that I love. Number one, Coach Golish's energy, it has not been like that. This dude's running from drill to drill. And I'm a coach. I know when people are faking it. He's not faking it, dude. Yeah. You can tell he just loves ball. And, you know, me personally, I stood over by the D-line for most of it. You know, they have an edge coach and a D-line coach. And both those guys, man, I'm talking about coaching in detail, making their butts start over the drill if they're not doing it right. It was fun to see, and I'm excited where we're going.
Yeah, totally. I think they're doing a really good job marketing that as well. They asked you to speak at practice, didn't they?
Yeah. So, hey, that's crazy how this worked out. So, Monday I reached out, which this is awesome too, man. Coach Jerice McIntyre, he's killing his role right now. He is in charge of high school relations and alumni. And man, whatever you're paying him, go ahead and double it because he's doing a great job. So I reached out to him on Monday and just said, hey, want to come up to practice, you know, as a coach. So, and by Friday, my phone rang and it was him calling me, which was kind of weird because I'm like, okay, why are you calling me? And I answered and he said, hey, I talked to Coach Golish and Coach Burns and they saw that you were coming with a couple of other guys and they would like for you to talk to the guys 30, 45 seconds during practice. And I'm like, let's go. Yeah, I'd love to, which that tells me two things. That's big time on their part that they're checking to see who's coming to practice. Yeah. And I know that sounds like, well, doesn't everybody do that? I don't know if we've done that in the past because, you know, they're checking to see who's going to be at practice. Are these guys that we could benefit from maybe talking to the team? Do I need to make sure I'm out there shaking their hands, saying hello to former players, things like that. So it was really cool to do. It was really hard to follow DeMarco McNeil. Shout out to him. The only defensive lineman to ever win Mr. Alabama.
He used to be my neighbor, by the way.
Oh, really? He's a great dude. He's so awesome. He's just bad A, man. Love him.
It'd be 100 degrees outside, and he's walking in full sweats, like just hoodie on, just dripping.
That's him, man. He's a dog, man. So he got up there and talked to the team first, got him fired up, and it was kind of hard to follow him, but it was a really cool experience to do. They kind of did it midway through practice and getting them fired up going to the next competition, which is cool. That's really cool, man. Like, hey, bring a former player up, let them talk 30 seconds, and let's go do some one-on-ones, pass rush drills, things like that.
Where do you see – so you've been a coach for a while now, and we'll talk more about your coaching later, but you've been a coach for a while now. I'm sure you've been to a lot of different schools for practices and things like that, recruiting visits and whatnot. Where do you see what you saw Saturday compared to like the rest of the country? Is this something that's pretty typical or is this something that you see is a little bit, you know, just feels different?
It felt different. I thought it was very impressive because, you know, this just practice three and they have not had any kind of, you know, you've had like two practices before that, but the sharpness of going from drill to drill. And it was more of they're not learning how to practice fast. I think that somehow between maybe those captain practices or those early morning 5 a.m. workouts and stuff like that, I can tell that he's already instilled that, hey, everything we're doing has a tempo to it.
Yeah.
Because there was not a lot of wasted time. Obviously, you have water breaks where we just kind of just the practice just shuts down just for people to have water. That's the only time where people were just standing around. You know, we're just rehydrating, getting ready to go. And then when that horn was blowing, there was no wasted time, man. They were running from drill to drill, and there was a lot of coaching going on.
What about from a – obviously, I know you're only a former player of Auburn, but you've probably been to schools and seen, you know, from a former player involvement perspective. Like, where do you – is that something that's pretty much, you know, the same across the board with other colleges, and maybe we just weren't taking – a lot of advantage of that, or is that something that you see that's a little bit different from an Auburn perspective when you go on other visits and maybe there's alumni there, or maybe there's not? Like what do you see there?
I don't think we were taking advantage of it. I kind of like the idea of, I think you see a bunch of schools take advantage of the big names, of names that are really well known in the media and stuff like that. And this is not like a Craig Sanders thing, but like Craig Sanders is not known whatever, like nationwide or something like that. So it's kind of, I think that we're doing like kind of a cool job of like, you bring in a DeMarco McNeil, everybody knows him. He's a dude, right? You bring in a Cam Newton, he's a dude. But hey, here's a dude too that's kind of like your unsung hero that hey, everybody's got a role on the team. This is how you can contribute as well, kind of deal. But I would say I've been out of it now since 2013. So we're going on what, 13, 14 years?
Yeah.
This is, from January to now, this is kind of the best that we've been doing with alumni. Cause I'm just telling you, man, you reach out, you ask to do anything. And when I go to leave, not only is Coach McIntyre, Jerice and them telling me this, Coach Burns telling me, but Coach Golish is going out of his way. He found me before I left and said, hey man, don't be a stranger. Come back anytime you want. That has never been said to me. You know what I mean? Like that's really cool.
That is super cool. And you know, you made a great point. I know you're selling yourself short a little bit, calling yourself just a role player, but that is a good message. Like, hey, these guys, you know, it doesn't have to just be Cam Newton at every practice. It doesn't have to just be Bo Jackson at every practice. There's a lot of dudes that won a lot of football games that probably don't have all the headlines and the podcasts and the social media and all this. You know, there's those everyday lunch pail guys that got out there and busted heads and won a lot of football games, and having you guys involved is really cool. I want to talk about a little bit more in detail about practice. Not going to give away any secrets. Not going to get you banned from practice. But yeah. I want to talk about some standouts. I know you were talking about, you know, you were watching that defensive line. We're going to jump into that in just a second. But before we do that, I want to give a quick shout out to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika, where car care meets hospitality. Craig, I know if you're like me, when you go to an auto shop, sometimes you feel like, man, this is going to cost me $1,000 minimum. These guys you can trust. These guys are going to take care of you because they want to create the long-term relationship. So don't worry about getting 50 air filters thrown at you and you got to change this belt and that hose and all this kind of stuff. Every time you go in, they're going to be honest with you. They're going to be up front at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans in Opelika. Give them a shout. And we also got to give a shout out to Roback.com. Use coupon code BARN20 to take 20% off your order. Polos, pullovers, hoodies, all that. And they even have Auburn licensed apparel as well. So show them some love. It's Roback.com and save big. We'll be back right after this. All right, I want to talk about practice in general. This team, man. I feel like the defensive line is probably one of the, from interior to pass rush, is probably one of the bigger question marks, because you got a ton of potential. You don't have a lot of returning production. So I just wanted to ask you, like, talk about some, maybe some guys you noticed, whether it was all you know is the number or the guy that you thought flashed, and just overall fill us in on how you feel about the defensive line. I know you only saw one practice, but just kind of give your thoughts there.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you overall, and this is being hit in the head a lot too. So name wise, and even number wise, I had those numbers in my head Saturday watching them. Mm-hmm. The interior and the guys that are playing that edge position now, there's not nobody that I played with that looked like that. I'm telling you, man, our D-line and even our O-line, we got some nice size. Yeah. rolling into this spring practice. I can't stress enough how great the coaches were doing with just coaching the fine things of, like, we're not just on a sled hitting a sled. Like, you know, I heard it over and over, you know, we're not firing up. I need you to fire out. So they're constantly coaching pad level, different things like that. While I was up there, I took both my boys. So I got a 3-year-old and a 10-month-old. Yeah. So I was chasing them around as well. But the pass rush drills that I was watching, you know, we were getting back there, you know, to the GA or the guy that's working it. And at the same time, we were getting sometimes we were getting stonewall too, which is a good thing as an Auburn fan, because I don't really want to pull up and watch the D line whip the O line while we're doing one-on-ones. I kind of like to see them get beat a little bit.
yeah. A little 50-50, like give and take a little bit. That's the funny thing about spring scrimmages and practices and things like that. If the defense looks awesome, you're like, oh man, the offense is going to be terrible. And then if the offense is lighting up, you're like, oh my God, the defense is awful. Give me like a little bit on both sides. Give me a little, some wins and some losses on both sides. That's good stuff. The size aspect, I don't think anybody getting off the bus is going to be like just remarkably more impressive than what Auburn's been able to put together through the portal and some of these high school guys too, man. Malik Autry, one of the kids from Opelika that's, you know, in his second year. I mean, that kid's what, 6'5", 305, and lean and mean. So he's getting a lot of heads turned. So that's good stuff. I got to ask you about the quarterback. I know you get laid some eyes on Byron Brown. That dude's, from the practice that I've been to, and I'm looking forward to going to it on tomorrow, on Thursday as well. So he's impressive.
He's impressive. I was excited to see him in person because, you know, I haven't got to see him in person yet. And I heard that, you know, he's got nice size and different things like that. He does. He is well built. But he's not built to the point to where he's like robotic, too much muscle, can't run and move. The dude can move. And it was kind of cool to see him. I mean, he had great energy, man. He was running around dapping up his players and, you know, kind of bringing the energy to practice. Had some great balls. You know, like I said, I'm chasing around kids. But I thought all three quarterbacks did a really good job, especially the freshman with the connection with the other freshman with the one hand.
Yeah, so you were there for that.
I wasn't chasing Beckett around. I turned around, I got to see that one live.
That's sick.
But Byram, he had some great balls. You know, Bryce Kane is one of my boys. He's from Baker down here where I coach. Bryce did a great job, you know, on some of the routes and stuff with him catching and screens and stuff, getting upfield. But I also was very impressed with some of the times that Byram scrambled. Now, was he live? No, but they were blowing the whistle when a player would tap off on him. And he was scrambling for a good 20 to 30 yards before somebody got hands on him. So he can move for a big boy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a workload to come tackle 230, you know, over and over and over again. What Marshawn Lynch say? He said something like, when they got to tackle me over and over and over and over again, eventually I'm going to win. You've played for two quarterbacks, obviously, that were great. Cam Newton and Nick Marshall played. Well, they were your quarterback there. I feel like they're two different leadership styles. Like Cam, I feel like, was a lot more vocal, and then Nick was kind of like a quiet. I may be reading this wrong, but like a more quiet, like a silent assassin. Where would you put, just based off what you saw in the very little bit, where would you feel like Byram fits? Is he more on the, from a personality standpoint, more on the Cam Newton side, more subdued, or is he kind of in the middle?
I like the silent assassin. Yeah, Cam was out there vocal wise once he got going. Now, before that season started, him and Nick were very similar though. Like, he's not a very like loud or vocal guy going into the season, but obviously grew confidence with the way he was playing and was able to take over the team. Nick was a very, which you, as a leader, you got to be a leader by example. And then the vocal part will come. Nick did a great job of leading by example. So the team was really bought into him as a quarterback in 13. I would throw Byram right now, right there in the middle of both of them. And with, once the season starts and the Dubs start rolling in, he starts gaining confidence and realizing like, hey, this is just SEC. I can do this crap too. He'll probably turn into a lot more vocal, but like his vocal is good. I don't think right now he needs to be over the top vocal. Yeah. That's kind of, I think that would kind of stand out like it's too much. I think what he's doing right now is perfect.
Love it. Love it. Let's talk about you, man. Let's talk about you. Obviously you finished in 2013. What have you been doing? What's going on? And you got a podcast. Let's talk about everything, man. Everything Craig right. Sanders.
So finished up and got my master's, and I go right into teaching. Went to Auburn Junior High teaching, man. The guy's spot that he retired after 40 years.
Yeah.
And I got his Auburn Junior High spot teaching PE, and I was coaching at the high school. Well, midway coaching through high school that year, Coach Rodney Gardner reached out to me, who was my D-line coach my senior year. And Coach Brandon Whelan got promoted to analyst, and he was the GA, and he asked me, would I want to come GA? And, you know, I reached out to some of the people that I go to for advice, and they were like, you're stupid if you don't do it. So I went and did it for 2 years, loved it. Some of the best coaching and people I've been around. I did not like the time that it comes with it, especially just the off-season part of it. I'm fine with the in-season, but I got out of it, got back into high school football, and have been coaching high school football ever since. And teaching some good old physical education.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go. And just finished up my fourth year here at Baker High School, where Bryce Kane, you know, is an alumni from. And I'm sitting there on Thanksgiving break, and I'm bored. And I'm looking at my wife, and during the season down here for WKRG, it's a sports radio show. I've been on and got to talk a little bit of Auburn football in the fall. Well, it gave me a little bit of an itch. So I was like, man, I kind of want to keep talking ball somehow. So I was like, what can I do? And I was sitting around talking to my wife, and she was like, why don't you have some high school coaches on and just talk to high school coaches? And I was like, that's not a bad idea. So if you can see, I got cleats to seats. And what we do on there is we take a high school coach and we'll spotlight him. And it may not be your head coach. It may be an assistant coach or whatever. And he could be from some small town. Kinston, Alabama, 1A that nobody knows about, but we're going to go jump into his daily life and see what they do with their program, different things like that. It's only about 15 to 20 minutes long, and it's just a good spotlight for that coach and what they're doing. And on top of that, also showing some D-line drills, coaching drills, schemes.
I watched
like
some
that.
Of the chalk talk, man. I watched some of your chalk talk videos.
I appreciate it. Yeah. The chalk talk has been really fun because it's honestly just things that I've got taught myself when I was playing or coming out of football and just kind of sitting in front of a camera and being able to share it with other coaches and stuff like that. But it's been a lot of fun for me, man. It's really grown. We're over 1,000 followers now on TikTok and Facebook, YouTube. So if it's something you want to check out, we have coaches on from all over, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. We sprinkled in some college coaches as well. So if it's something you'd like to check out or follow, you can go look up Cleats to Seats on TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. And I appreciate you letting me give a shout out to that show.
Yeah, dude, check it out. I've watched a couple episodes. Love it. Let me ask you this. You said you've been at Baker for 4 years.
Yes.
You coached with my man, Juan.
Oh, yeah. Juan Johnson. Coach Juan Johnson, man. That's
yeah, we went to high school together.
Oh, really?
We played Little League baseball together, all-stars. Like, dude, he's my boy. So, y'all were really good. I think he was only there, like, was he one
so
or two?
So, Coach Norman got us rolling, man. So, we went 8-2. Coach Norman retires, and Coach Johnson comes in. And Coach Johnson comes in, dude, with fire and got the ball really rolling coming off of how Coach Norman did it the previous year. And we ended up winning our first round of the playoffs where we beat Hewitt Trustville, where he had came from. You can't even write it any better than that. And that was the first time we won the first round playoff game in like 30, 40 years. So
that's awesome. I love it. Yeah,
Coach Johnson's a good dude, man.
Yeah, for sure. Craig, my man, I appreciate you, brother. We'll get you back on here. Make sure you go to every practice. Go to every practice you can. Love to hear from you as much as possible. Guys, thank y'all for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you follow Cleats to Seats. Search him out and show him some love there too. We'll be back again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening. And drive home safely.